Hello and welcome. Welcome to St. Stephen's. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As you can see by the table being set, there is a meal today at Jesus' table. Diane will be leading us in the sacrament of communion later in this service. So if you need to pause this recording now to prepare the elements of either crackers or bread and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. Would you join me in today's call to worship? We come into God's house looking for Jesus. But it can be hard to recognize the risen Lord. He is faithful and life is abundant because of him, so we persevere. Jesus calls us, as he called his disciples, to look beyond our own walls, to look out for those in need of him, and to do what he has shown us to do. He is faithful, and life is abundant because of him, so we persevere. We will see the resurrected Jesus in unexpected places as God's people are faithful to his call. Let us have eyes to see and ears to hear. Let us worship. And if you light a candle as a regular habit during worship, let's do that together, as I light the Christ candle here. Let us pray. Loving God, for many people these days are dark and for some unbearable. As your people, redeemed by the sacrifice of the risen King, we come to offer ourselves up to the service of your kingdom. Help us to recognize our own fears for what they are and pursue your goodness with all the grace of heaven on our side. In this time of worship today, we pray that you equip us for the work you have for each one to be about. Fill us with the love of Christ to care for those that you care about, and empower us through the infilling of your Holy Spirit to rise above our own limitations, to love you as you have loved us, and be your hands and feet in this world. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. As we come to God, seeking the assurance of his grace, let's pray together the prayer of confession. God of boundless compassion, too often we rely on our own devices in everything we do, including carrying out ministry and missions on your behalf. Forgive us for our arrogant self-reliance and teach us to seek the continuing guidance of the risen and living Christ and to follow always his bidding and will as faithful disciples. In his name we pray. Amen.
My friends, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away, and now there is no darkness, only light. God continues to renew us and to restore us. We are forgiven and loved, receiving the gift and promise of new life and resurrection now. So go and share this wonderful news of God's love in Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven and we have new life in him. This is good news. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. We are celebrating communion together this week, and as is our practice, we will say together one of the creeds of the church. Today, please join me in saying the new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Today's reading is a story of Jesus appearing to the seven disciples. It is from the book of John, chapter 21, reading verses 1 through 19. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." "We will come with you," they said to him. So they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Young men, haven't you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. He said to them, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you will catch some." So they threw the net out and could not pull it back in because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from land, about 100 yards away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish, 153 in all. Even though there were so many, still the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was Jesus. So Jesus went over, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from death. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter became sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And so he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I am telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you up and take you where you don't want to go." On saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Here ends today's gospel.
I do love how the church season of Easter begins. We get to focus on these stories of the risen Christ coming to his disciples, preparing them for the mission the Holy Spirit would launch at Pentecost. The stories of Jesus' resurrection appearances are such wonderful stories. Today's is the third one we've come to this year. Easter Sunday, you will recall, we remembered how Jesus came to Mary Magdalene in such a personal way at the tomb. And last week with Phil, it was the story of how Jesus came to be among his disciples when they were hiding away in fear. Well, today we're going to skip past the story of Jesus coming to Thomas so that we can focus on this very special morning when Jesus met his disciples once again on a beach on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Now, on each of these three occasions, it seems that at first, Jesus' disciples don't realize that it's him with them. There was something about the risen Christ that seemed to make it difficult for even his closest friends to be able to recognize him. Remember, at the tomb, Mary thought at first that he was the gardener. And the disciples we heard about last week, the ones who were hiding in the room, they didn't realize it was him until they were able to see the wounds in his hands and on his side. And in today's passage, no one seems to realize who Jesus is until they find themselves hauling in another huge, miraculous catch of fish. And even then, some of them still aren't sure, despite the fact that that whole experience would have had very strong echoes of a morning 3 years earlier when Jesus had come to that same place and first called them to follow him. John and Peter, on this morning we've heard about today, they were the first to realize that the man on the shore was Jesus. But the others seem to have had a bit of a harder time believing it. They weren't convinced until they were gathered with him around that fire on the beach and he was handing them bread and fish, as he probably would have done so many times before. It's only then that they realize that it's him. In this story, as in all the others, it just seems to take a while for each disciple to be able to recognize the risen Christ with them. And they each come to that recognition in their own way and in their own time. And I think that's really important for us to know. Think about it. If they struggled to recognize Jesus with them when they had been with him for 3 years, and they actually had him in risen form physically appearing before them, standing with them there, then is it any wonder if we who can't see and touch him, if we need to work on our ability to recognize Jesus' presence and movement amongst us, that shouldn't be surprising to us. Well, challenging or not, it is something that we absolutely need to try to do. That morning when Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me," he was renewing Peter's call to be part of Jesus' mission. Well, now, in effect, that same call extends to the whole church that came into being through the ministry of Peter and the other apostles. As we know, Jesus calls us to follow him to our parts in his mission as well. But call me simple. I've just never been able to figure out how we can follow Jesus unless we are able to recognize his presence and his leading. I actually believe that Jesus calls each of us, each congregation, each ministry, each mission, and yes, each individual, to follow him personally and specifically. I actually believe in the core of my being that Jesus has a call for me right now, and a call for you, and a call for this congregation at this time. And our job as his disciples is to discern those calls and then follow Jesus step by step towards them. As Phil would say, it's not rocket surgery. It's a pretty straightforward plan. So how do we do that? How do we discern Jesus' presence and leading? Well, enough with the theory behind it. This morning, I want to do things a little differently than we normally do. I want to spend a bit of time on some of the practical applications around this. For a number of years, we have had a habit around here of starting meetings of the board and meetings of various ministries and teams by asking some version of this question. How and where have we seen God moving around us? Now, people in those meetings and gatherings would often share some sense they had of God doing various things, of bringing life and joy, love, deepening people's sense of peace or strengthening their hope, often in tangible and intangible ways, and often through the hands and feet and hearts of you folks. Those were the stories we'd hear, and honestly, hearing them were often the very best parts of those meetings. They encouraged us. They helped us all to be able to recognize God's presence and activity more clearly around us. And that often made it much easier for us to discern what step Jesus might be calling us to take next. It was a beautiful, beautiful way of being. Well, sadly, as we have been wading through these past 2 years, trying to continue to follow Jesus faithfully, this part of our life that had become so vital and inspiring became one of our greatest challenges. It's gotten really hard for many of us to be able to say where we've seen God today. I don't for a minute think that God has left us, but I do think that there have been some things that have come with the pandemic that have made it more difficult for us to be able to recognize him here with us. We're a bit like those first disciples in the early days after Jesus' resurrection. He is with us. But at first, we often aren't able to recognize him. Now, one of the things that I think might be hampering us in this is something Phil talked about last Sunday. Fear. Fear is absolutely debilitating in this. Remember, it was actually Peter's fear of being arrested that led him to deny Jesus 3 times before Jesus was crucified. Fear has an uncanny ability to make it more difficult for us to be able to connect with God. Now, fortunately, God has an antidote to fear. He's given it to us. God's perfect love is the one thing that has the power to overcome fear. So focusing on God's love regularly is really important, always, but especially when we're living in a global atmosphere that is charged with fear, like our world is right now. This is one of the key reasons we tried so hard to ensure that we were able to offer some way for you to worship every single Sunday throughout the pandemic, regardless of what challenges came along. In worship, we get to show our love for God. And in the process of doing that, we open ourselves up to receiving God's love for us. It's absolutely vital. So as we emerge from living in this perpetual sense of communal crisis, the first thing we need to be doing is prioritizing worship in our lives. Doing that is one of the very best things that we can do to reconnect with God and to remember His great and perfect love for us that will truly cast out our fears. Now, in addition to the fear that came with the pandemic, there has been another aspect of our life over the last 2 years that has made it much more difficult for us to be able to maintain a sense of what God is doing around us, and consequently made it difficult for us to get a sense of Jesus leading. Not being able to gather together in person, in small gatherings and large, has really made it much more difficult for us to see God moving. The truth is that we do not do well in isolation, full stop. As it was for those first disciples, most of the time we actually need each other to help us to sense Jesus with us. Remember, in many of those stories of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus appearing, he comes to be among the group of his disciples. And usually one or another of them eventually realizes it's him. That's what happens when we gather together. One person may have a sense of God's presence in something. Another senses God moving in and through someone else. And if we are brave enough to share these impressions that we have with each other, then together we get to come to that moment when our eyes and our hearts fly open to the realization that God is here with us, moving, calling, leading us. Since these first days when the risen Christ came to his disciples, Jesus' followers have always recognized his presence and heard and sensed his leading best by being together. God's way is to draw us into community, and God loves to be in the midst of us when we are together. Where two or three are gathered, I am there. That's why we are trying to put our best energies into resuming and restarting activities and programs that are giving us a chance to actually be together again. Worship was the first step. And now we're trying to expand those opportunities by having two worship services most Sundays, by encouraging people to come to the coffee time between the services so that we can be together, have some fellowship and a visit. We're trying to have our meetings in person if we can. Last week, Community Meals was able to welcome guests here into the hall for the first time in 2 years, and it was a big improvement. And this spring's education offerings, Elva's Blessing Course, and the One at a Time study that some of us are doing together, they're happening in person. While we are grateful to have had the opportunity to maintain some level of connection with each other through Zoom and technologies like that while we were going through those lockdowns, it's far, far better than having no connection at all. But it wasn't nearly as good as being able to be in the same room together. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to make a special effort to gather with others in some way, whether it's in a large gathering for worship or a small gathering, maybe for study or fellowship or service of some kind. Many of us are out of the habit of doing this, so it's going to take some concerted effort on our part to make it happen. And I hope that each of you will find a way to make that effort in some way, if you're able. Something special happens when we are together. The Holy Spirit graces us with the gift of being able to sense God in and through each other. You might notice something that seems awfully like Jesus. And maybe you smile or mention it, and then suddenly I'm able to see it too. Or maybe you don't say anything, but we are aware that the air in the room has changed. It's lightened. Maybe there's a new sense of freshness and life gently blowing through. That is the Spirit of God moving in our midst. And we get to share those wonderful, holy moments as we encourage each other to realize it's Jesus. It's Jesus here with us today. So a word to you if you are one of our regular online worshipers. We so love that you join us each week to worship through these online services, and it is our plan and our intention to continue to offer them each week. But I do want to encourage you to consider finding some way to connect in person, in fellowship with some others who might be trying to follow Jesus too, if you're able. Online is good, but I am quite convinced that for most of us, it won't be enough to enliven and encourage us to hear Jesus' call and to follow. We need each other in this. So if you're local to the Qualicum area, we would love to meet you in person sometime, whether that's at a worship service or at a smaller gathering. You are welcome here. If you're watching from further away, then I really do encourage you to find some people of faith to connect with, even if it's simply a group of a few friends who get together informally for fellowship and maybe a prayer. Where two or three are gathered, I am there. It doesn't have to be elaborate or formal. Remember on the morning that we've remembered together today, it happened over a campfire breakfast on the beach. Jesus just loves for us to be together as we try to follow him. And when we are, he loves to be right here in the middle of it all with us. Amen.
Hello, please join me in the prayers of the people. With faith, we pray to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray, united in Christ, who gives us the victory for the church, the body of Christ, that we might truly live the unity we receive through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for our local Christian communities, our churches, and ecumenical groups, for those here present and those who are absent today. Lord, forgive us when we are indifferent to each other and bring your healing to the wounds and divisions that keep us apart. Let us pray for a deeper appreciation of our common baptism into the one body of Christ. Lord, sustain each of us and our communities as we continue on the path towards the unity you desire for all your disciples. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for our spiritual leaders and church authorities that the Spirit may continue to enlighten them and grant them the grace to work in harmony, joy, and love. Let us pray for all civil authorities. Lord, grant that they may work towards justice and peace and give them the wisdom to attend to the needs of all, especially the most vulnerable. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all the nations and communities who live with deep divisions and internal conflicts. Lord, we remember in a special way the people of Ukraine and Russia, and to search for peace and unity in spite of political divisions and separation may bear fruit and be a sign of hope for all who seek reconciliation in the midst of divisions. Let us pray in thanksgiving for those who, inspired by you, Lord, have held an important place in our lives of faith, and for all who have reflected your forgiveness, compassion, and love. May their gifts and generosity inspire our own desire to give and to serve with our lives. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all people, that we may be good stewards of the earth. Let us pray for the people of our society, that we may be transformed to live as caring neighbors to each other. Let us pray for the sick, suffering, and dying, that they may be transformed and comforted by your healing presence. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all of those who bring the gospel to bear on great ethical challenges of our time. Lord, may we each learn to play our part in mitigating the global and ecological disasters which bring human suffering and threaten your creation. Let us pray for all Christian churches and ask for your help, Lord, so that one day they may be able to gather around the table and share the fellowship of Holy Communion. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, stand in our midst and grant us unity and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Easter people, come now to the table with Christ, for he is risen. He lives and presides at this feast. Come eat together the bread of life, for he is risen, and nothing separates us from God's love. Come drink together from the cup of gladness, for Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Praise to you, God of glory. You created the universe and all living things. You breathed life into our dust and gave us a paradise. You sought us when we hid ourselves, ashamed of our sin. You made a people for yourself and saved them from oppression. In the fullness of time, your love came also to us in your servant Jesus. He ministered to us healing, overcoming divisions, welcoming all. He died on the cross of shame, but you vindicated him, giving him a life that is forever new. This is the life he shares with us, a life of justice, mercy, and citizenship in your realm of peace. All your creatures testify to your mighty deeds and declare your everlasting love. We too proclaim it, as with the angels of heaven we say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, O God, with grateful hearts, we remember Jesus. We remember that he was laid in a borrowed grave. A heavy stone sealed up the tomb. We remember that the women came early in the morning on the third day, but they did not find him among the dead. Instead, they met him risen from the grave. We remember that he came to his disciples on the shore once again. He called to them, and as they had done so many times before, shared a simple, wonderful meal. And they knew it was him with them again. We ask that you would give us the grace to know you with us in this meal we share today. Come, Holy Spirit, bless this bread that earth has given and human hands have made. Bless also this fruit of the vine created for our gladness. Make them the food and drink of everlasting life, body surrendered, blood poured out. As we rejoice in the resurrection, give us love for each other and make us servants of peace until your kingdom is fully revealed and every creature beholds it. We pray in the name of Jesus, who lives and presides at this table, our host and our feast. Thanks be to him who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements in your home. Now let's say together our prayer after communion. Eternal and gracious God, we have tasted your goodness yet again this day. Send us forth, filled with the Holy Spirit, to live and serve as people of the resurrection. Allow us to be both witnesses and agents of your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, each of you, again, for the ways that you have given to the ministry that we are about here at St. Stephen's. Would you join me in praying our offertory prayer, dedicating all of your gifts to God's work in this world? O Lamb of God, we come before you as your chosen instruments to serve the world. Receive these, our gifts, as well as our lives. Bless them, we pray, and use them to perform deeds of love and mercy that will glorify your holy name. Amen. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in, cares and pleasures. Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. Of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him all sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here.
Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining.